Revelation, the 21st chapter, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 1. John said here in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us go again, the Lord, in prayer. Our Father, once again as we come before you, we thank you for this another opportunity, one more time, Lord, to stand, tell about your love and of your amazing grace, what you've done, what you've made possible, that you've got waiting for us. And I just ask God of your help this morning, Lord, you'd take this old stammering tongue, help us to say something, be a help to each one that's here. Should there be one here that's unsaved, that doesn't know you, Savior, that without you, Lord, they'd realize that they're going to die and go to hell. Lord, that today might be the day they'd come trust you as Savior. I pray you bless this church, this work, and I pray you bless Brother Ken, Sister Renee, as they work in it. Lord, use them and help them. Lord, that it might be a soul winning station, that it might be that many will walk a street of gold one day because of your work here. I pray you'd help. We just ask now that you'd go with us, use us, and help us in that you do. We'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' sweet and precious name we ask and pray. Amen. Now, for just a little while, I want to talk on this right here. The Bible tells us about up here in verse 4, the Bible said, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I want to talk just a little while this morning on the no mores. I'm glad that there's coming a time that there's going to be no mores of these. But before this happens, I want to drop back into Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 11th verse. John said here, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up, and the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." And then he made this statement, "This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I want to talk on this just a little while this morning. You know, the Bible tells us here, if you go back into Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse, the Bible said there's a time to be born and a time to die. There was a time, that in verse 1 it tells us to everything there is a season. There's a time when God chose for you and I to be born into this world. You know, I've thought about it a lot. I'd love to have been born back when my grandpa and grandma was, you know, back in what we call the old days. And when I was a boy, things was a lot different than what they are now. Some of you remembers it when I was born. You know, everybody's got a cell phone now carrying it around. We didn't even have a telephone back then. Didn't even have a telephone in the house. No TV. And now everybody's got one, you know, carrying it in their pocket. And I want you to understand that there's times when we think that we'd left have been born back then. And I want you to see and understand that God chose the time when you and I were to be born. God made it possible, and He knew the time that we needed to be here, and God set that time aside for you and I. And He's gave us so much time here, and the preparation that He's made for us to make preparation for the time when we're going to leave. And, you know, we ought to be thankful. We could have been born somewhere in a continent where they don't believe in God. We could have been somewhere else. But God allowed us to be born in the United States. Boy, I thank God He let me be born in the United States. Not only that, God let me be born in the Bible Belt, where the Bible's preached. You know, the Bible's not preached in every plane. But I'm glad He let me be born in the Bible Belt. Not only that, into a Christian home. Now, I thank God for what He done. But I want you to understand, nobody asked me about being born into this world. They didn't ask you. I mean, we were born when God chose for us to be here. But the Bible tells me, Jesus said that you must be born again. If you go to heaven, you've got to be born again. He told us in John 3:3 over there, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You're not going to make it in until you're born again. You must be born again. You've got to be saved to go to heaven. And the times we're living in, I'm looking for Jesus at any time. I'm expecting Him at any time to come. But I want you to understand that there's a time that we was born into this world, but to go to heaven, we must be born again. And then the Bible tells me there's a time appointed unto me when I'm going to die. I've got an appointment with death, and so have you. In Hebrews 9th chapter, the 27th verse, how the Bible said, "As it is appointed unto men once to die." Now after this, the judgment, now those that's been born again, washed in the blood, will go before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the deeds done in the flesh since we've been saved. But if you've not experienced that second birth, you'll not be at that judgment. There's a white throne judgment I just read about, and there's also a second death. Now, there's a second birth to those that's going to heaven, but there's a second death to those that reject Christ and are going to die and go to hell. Now, I can't prove it by the Bible. I know that over in John, in the 4th chapter and the 1st verse, the Bible tells us that old John heard a voice from heaven and was received up in and becomes in type of the church of the first resurrection. The Bible tells me in Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 6th verse, it said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I want you to understand, the Bible said those that is taken up in the first resurrection, the second death has no power on them. Now, as I said, John becomes in type of the church. And John said, "Here I saw." If you read down there in the verses we just read, he said, "I saw." Now, I can't prove it, but I believe the church will own view the white throne judgment. Now, I've preached it. I know Brother Ken has too, and a lot of funerals. And I've said, you know, they're going to a land where there'll be no more death, and there'll be no more sorrow, no more weep, and no more crying. But there will be until after the white throne judgment. Now, I can't prove it, but I believe that the church will be there at the white throne judgment. We'll see these that will come before God and be judged because of sin and be cast into a lake of fire. And I've thought about it a lot of times. Now, You know, I've thought about, boy, I don't want nobody standing at the white throne judgment and look at me and say, I worked with you for years, or I lived beside of you for years, or I used to see you all the time, and you never mentioned Jesus to me. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why didn't you tell me that I was going to die and go to hell? Boy, I don't want nobody to do that when I stand there. I had a neighbor, he brought a man over one day to my house to look at a big tree that I was wanting to have cut down. And I asked that man, I said, where do you live? And he told me it wasn't far from where I live. And I said, do you attend church there? And he said, no, not anymore, used to. And I got to questioning the man. I asked him, I said, are you saved? And how reluctant. You know, he said, yeah, I'm saved. And I said, born again, washed in the blood. No, Jesus is your Savior. And he told me that he was. And I don't know where he was or not, whether he lied to me or not. I don't know. But a few days after that, my neighbor called me and he said, can I come see you a minute? And I said, yeah, my wife and myself were fixing to leave to go to Winston to the Baptist Hospital to visit some. And I said, I've got a few minutes. We're going to leave here in a little bit, but you can come out. He come in my door and he looked mad when he come in. He come in, he walked over and sat down on our couch, and I sat down in a chair. He looked at me right stern. He said, I don't know what's wrong with you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I brought a man out here to look about cutting a tree down for you. And he said, the first thing you done was jumped on to him about church. I said, boy, wait a minute. I said, I do that to everybody. I said, not jump on them. I just want to know where they're going. I said, one of these days there's going to be a white throne judgment, and I believe that I'll own beauty. I'm glad that I'm not going to be part of it, but I'll be there at him. And I said, I don't want that man looking at me and saying, I come to your house one day to look at a tree and you never mention Jesus to me. I want you to understand that we need to tell people about Jesus. And have you ever thought about being at the white throne judgment and seeing some of your loved ones judged at the white throne judgment? What an awful time it's going to be. I mean, I've thought about it. I've said it a lot of times. Boy, I couldn't stand to stand there and see one of my young ones go before the white throne judgment of God and be condemned to die in the second death and be cast into hell and be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I got studying about that thing, and God showed me something. That night, when I was studying, you know, I've thought about my children. I've got a little grandson. All my grandkids have made professions of faith. And all of them was saved except one. And his name's Cooper. You gotta meet him to know him, you know. And we call him Coop, and boy, he's something else. He's 9 years old now, and he's wide open. Brother Ken knows him. He's just a crackerjack. Now, he is. But he wasn't saved, and he had been talking some to his mom and dad about it, you know. And after service, they all come to our house. Our children, we got 2 daughters and got 4 grandkids and their husbands. They all come. My wife, most of the time, has lunch fixed, and we eat lunch together. And then I go in the bedroom and rest a little bit. When you get my age, you deserve that, you know. I was in the bedroom and Coop come in and he said, Papa, he said, I ought to get saved, just kind of like that, you know. And I kind of sat up and took note of it. And I thought, you know, what do I need to say? Lord, help me. And I started saying, well, he changed the subject then. And before I could really say anything to him, he left out of my room, went. And boy, that worried me to death. I told my wife, it scared me to death. I begged God every night. I said, Lord, give me another opportunity. Just because I messed up. Maybe I messed up. Now, I don't want him to die and go to hell because I messed up. And it worried me to death. My wife can tell you I worried about it constantly. And one Saturday morning, his daddy as a mailman was on his mail there. And he had been listening to a song back in the bedroom, and he come out, and he was a-weeping, and he went to his mama and said, Mama, I want to get saved. She called her our son-in-law, and he was on the route. He left the route and come home, and they took the Bible. That Saturday morning, he called me and said, "Papa, guess what happened to me?" He said, "I got saved. Glory to God, that three in my heart. I was shouting over the house." And on Sunday morning, he come up before the church and told them what God had done for him. And I thought, well, boy, I couldn't stand to see one of my youngins or my grand-youngins die and go to hell. But God showed me this. You know, when we got saved, the Bible said when we leave this world, we're going to be like Him. And the Bible tells me in John 3:16, "For God so loved." That word "so" is beyond our comprehension. He didn't just say, "For God loved the world." But the Bible said He so loved it. In other words, to the depths of love that we can't even understand the greatness, how to give His only begotten Son to die in my place and your place, that no wretched sinner such as I could go to heaven. But the Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that word, they mentioned it in the prayer. Boy, I was unsettled this morning. He mentioned that in the prayer room. One of the men in there, you mentioned that this morning about unconditional love. God said, "I'm just showing you. Well, I want you to understand God's love is unconditional. He's no respecter of person. He loves everybody the same. And when we stand at the white throne judgment, and I believe we'll be there, and one of the worst, vilest sinners that's ever been comes before the white throne judgment, and God says, 'Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew ye.' And the Bible said they'll be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. I believe it'll tear our heart out just like it was one of our young'uns. You see, God loves them just as much as He does you and I. He loves them just as much as He does our grand young'uns and our young'uns. Glory to God, it's going to hurt when that happens. And you know, we preached a lot of times that there'll be no sorrow there. And there won't be after this. There's a time when God said there'll be no more of this crying. There'll be no more of this. And I want you to understand, until that time, though, how there's going to be a time when the second death comes about. And that second death is going to affect the church. And the greatest thing about it, it's going to affect you and I, people we should have witnessed to in Denton, and see them cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now I want you to understand that God wants us to be telling about His love. It's not God's will for that to happen. The Bible tells us it's going to be an awful time in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 9th verse. Down there, the Bible said that God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to understand, boy, I've experienced the long-suffering of God. I didn't get saved the first time God dealt with my heart. Boy, I'd grip that old bench and I'd hold on to it. I didn't get saved the second time, nor the third. Boy, I as a teenager, I rebelled against the church or mom and dad. I wouldn't go to church. And I'd been raised in church. I knew about it. I'd bowed and made a profession. But boy, I didn't have the goods. I had a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. But God began to deal with my heart. Boy, we'd go, me and my wife would go once in a while to church, maybe once a month, to get people off our bang. Boy, my mama was one, she was on her bang. Boy, I had an old pastor. He loved God, had the Holy Ghost all about him. He loved God, and he'd come to mom and dad's, my wife and myself. We lived in no mobile home out through the field out there. And I'd look and I'd see his car pull mom and daddy's driveway. I'd start walking the floor. I'd say, "Oh no, he's coming out of here. He'll be out of here." few minutes, sure enough, here he would come. He had come to our house. Boy, it turned me all to pieces. I just didn't want to see him. But we'd go to church once in a while, get people off our back. I don't know why, but in March of 1975, we went 3 Sundays in a row. Boy, my wife said my knuckles had turned just as white as they could be. I'd grip that old bench. I couldn't breathe. I'd smother. And finally, that Sunday morning, I turned loose of that bench on March the 30th, 1975. They were shouting all over the church, and I couldn't stand it no longer. And I turned loose of that bench, and I may block my way to an old-fashioned. My daddy fell down over the top of me and began to pray. But God done something. I had a life-changing experience. I didn't just make a profession. Glory to God, I got something that changed my life that Sunday morning. I've never been the same since that Sunday morning. God changed my life. Now I want you to see, He wants everybody to be saved. He don't want you to die and go to hell. I had a young man to ask me how one day I was witnessing to him, telling him about the love of God. He said, "You mean to tell me this God that loves me is going to send me to hell?" I said, "No, sir. He's done everything He could to keep you out of hell. He even gave His own Son to keep you out of hell. He don't want you to die and go to hell, but He ain't going to make you come to heaven. He wants you. He's done chose you. He wants you to choose Him." Boy, I'm glad that I chose Him that Sunday morning. And it changed my life, made a difference in my life, and made a difference in my home. My wife can tell you. But the Bible tells us that there's going to be a white throne judgment, and I believe the church is going to be there. And it's going to be an awful time. There's going to be weeping and crying, sorrow and pain over people we don't know now, but we'll know them then when they're cast into a lake of fire. It's going to hurt just like it's our dearest life. You see, we're going to love everybody the same. I'm going to know perfect love then. I love my wife. I'd lay down my life for my wife. But when I get there, I won't love her any more than anybody else. You mean you won't love your wife more than anybody else in heaven? No, sir. That'd be imperfect love. Boy, I'm going to have perfect love over there. We'll love everybody the same, just like God does. And it's going to hurt when we see these. And the Bible tells us here, down here in the 3rd verse, John said, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God." A lot of people claim to know Jesus as their Savior, but He's not their God. There's a God that keeps people from church. You know, the Bible tells us over there that they become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of their own self, and they claim to be saved, but you know the Bible tells us in Titus over there that they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. The Bible tells us to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, preacher, I ain't done nothing." Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's not what we have done, but what we're not doing. We're supposed to be a witnessing and telling others about Him. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. But I want you to see that he said up here in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." The Bible tells us in Psalms in the 30th chapter and the 5th verse, "For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." I want you to understand that there's going to be some crying there, and there's going to be some weeping. And over these that's being cast into hell, not just those that we know, But everybody that comes before it, we're going to see them. And you're talking about, you're talking about some awful death. I've seen people die here, and I've seen them fight to stay here. Seen a man one night, they had given him morphine, and he was still fighting. They crushed him, morphine tablets, put them under his tongue, try to calm him down. Boy, it didn't calm him down one bit. And just a few minutes, he died anyway. You're going to die. I've seen them die with a smile on their face. My daddy, he loved God. He was wanting to get out of this world. He said, I don't know why God leaves me here. I want to go on. And I stayed with him. He had a heart attack one evening. I went home. Mom called me and said, your dad's worse. You need to come back. I walked up to the foot of his bed, and he had a big old smile on his face. He said, it's my last day. And called the paramedics. They come. They couldn't get a blood pressure on him. He told them, said, carry me on down to Wade Moody's. Wade Moody's is a funeral home in our town. And they put him in the ambulance, and they rushed him to the hospital. And I went to the hospital, and the doctor came out and seen me and said, your daddy's had a massive heart attack, and said, Daddy ever leaves the hospital alive. Daddy had had dementia and all, too, and boy, he is wanting to get out of this world. He's wanting to go on home. Now, I've been in to see people with heart attacks before, scared to death, hurting. I walked in, and the doctor said, you can go in and see him. I walked in, he's laying in there singing. Nurse come by and said, singing. And she said, well, I'm trying, but I don't know how. And about that time, he looked up, he said, don't you, Leon, what a hole. I believe heaven was opening up. Just a few minutes after that, my dad slipped out of this world, went on to glory. And I want you to understand that I've heard there's a lady in our church, and she told me about her uncle that never would go to church. Didn't want nobody to tell him about it, and didn't want to hear nothing about it. But on his deathbed, he's screaming for his boys to pull him up in the bed that the flames were burning his feet. And just a few minutes after that, he dropped off into hell. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to go the way of heaven. I don't want to go the other way. Praise God, I'm glad. They sung that song a while ago about being glad I'm saved. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm on my way to glory. But God, there's going to be tears. But God, the Bible said, will wipe away our tears at that time. And then it said, there shall be no more death. I'm glad that after this death is over, there'll be no more death. There was a preacher I knew, he's dead now. He dreamed one night that he died and went to heaven. Now, I don't put stock in dreams. Don't get me wrong about that. But he said, I dreamed this, and I wanted to tell him. He said, I dreamed that I died and went to heaven. And he said, I seen my daddy. And said, my daddy had been dead for years and years. And said, I walked up to him and I said, hello, Dad. He said, well, hello, son. He said, when'd you get here? He said, just now. And his daddy said, me too. I mean, there's no time there. It'll always be just like we just got there. And I want you to understand, the Bible said that God's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and there'll be no more death. Death brings sorrow. It said, neither sorrow. I want you to understand the sorrow that we have over a loved one that dies in this life. And boy, I've sorrowed over a lot of loved ones that's went on. How my mother, my dad, my brother just passed away this past January. Boy, he was wanting to go on, my brother was, and he said that he told his young'uns that the day that he died, that evening, he said, I'm going home tomorrow. That was on Friday night. On Saturday morning, he died, went on to glory. Now, I want you to understand, boy, I've had sorrow over loved ones. My wife's parents, boy, I loved them dearly, and she had a sister that was real close to us, and how they've all died and gone. But it's nothing like it's going to be for that second death. When that happens, it's going to be an awful time. But then the Bible said that there'll be neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. You ever been in such sorrow that you just hurt? I mean that it was so such a great thing in your life that it hurt you and that it bothered you so bad. I mean you just hurt, seemed like. And I want you to understand the Bible said all this is going to be gone. God's going to take it away. There'll be no more of that. And then the Bible tells us there, He said, for the former things are passed away. There's going to be one more thing before this that there'll be no more of. There'll be no more goodbyes. Those that we've loved down through the years, when they suffer that second death and are cast off into hell, it'll be the last time we see them. There'll be no more goodbyes. We'll not have another chance to witness to them. I thought about the rich man in Lazarus. The old rich man said, send somebody to my house. I got five brethren. And somebody might tell them about not to come to this awful place. We'll never see them again. You say, well, we'll hurt from now on. No, the Bible said God's going to wipe these things from our memory. We'll not remember them anymore. We're going to live in the bliss of heaven. But they're going to be... Death is a separation. When you die, this old body goes back to the dust from which it came. But that spirit that's within you is eternal. But that second death, they're separated from God and all that's good. And the Bible tells us that they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Never an end to it. Boy, I don't want nobody dying to go to hell. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved, never been born again. And you say, I've got plenty of time. The next car you meet could hit you head on and you could leave this world. Just a few weeks, I think there's been leaden deaths in our county in the past month. One of them was a 16-year-old girl and her 12-year-old sister in a car wreck. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. The Bible tells us to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what the next heartbeat's going to bring. I don't know what the next breath's going to bring. God gives you that breath. But I want you to understand, if you're here today and you're lost and you've never been born again, never been washed in the blood, I know one that loves you and He gave His life for you. I can't save you, but boy, we can introduce you to Him. He's the best friend I ever had. And He's going to take me to glory. And then maybe you're here this morning and you're saved, but you're not telling nobody about Jesus. I've had people say, preacher, I just can't talk to people. I just can't. You get them on the ball game or car race or hunting or playing golf or something like that. Boy, they can talk about that. But they can't talk about Jesus. Greatest thing that's ever happened to you and I was when Jesus died on an old rugged cross, making it possible. There's going to be some sorrow when we see Him, realizing what He went through to make it possible that I could be there, that my name could be there. And I want to ask you today, are you telling people about Him? Is there people going to die and go to hell that you work with or live beside of or friends with because you've never told them about Jesus? Well, I want God to use me. I don't talk to everybody, but I try to. I try to just mention Him to them anyway. Boy, I'd love them to tell him and show him what he's done for me. Boy, I'd love to take my heart out and show you what he done for me. Boy, he changed my heart one Sunday morning, made me different. My wife had a different husband. We had one daughter then. She had a different daddy. I went to work. They had a different employee the next morning. And I thought everybody, when I told them what I found that Sunday morning, I thought everybody, man, everybody's going to want this. But they didn't want to be around me, but that didn't stop me from telling them. Are we telling people about Jesus? A lot of people's dying going to hell because of church. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Nobody wants to go out and tell nobody about Jesus anymore. We got other things to do. But one of these days, when we stand there, and I believe we will, on viewing the white throne judgment, I believe we'll wish we'd have told them about Jesus. I'm going to ask you this morning, I'm going to let them come and get a song. I don't know how you want to do this, Brother Ken, if you want to come up. But I beg you today, if you're not saved, don't leave this morning without Jesus. And if you are saved, Lord of God, I'd come. I'd ask God to use me to be a witness for Him, to tell others about Him, and to tell them did Jesus do something for you when you got saved? Just tell them what He done for you, Brother Ken.